And welcome to the Equitopia podcast from the horse's mouth. My name is Caroline Higgerty, founder of Equitopia. Well, we're a couple of weeks away from the second conference in our themed online series. This next one focusing on fear and safety for horse and rider. Today, I'm speaking with one of our presenters, Helen O'Hanlon. Helen is a life coach and horsemanship instructor based in Ireland, the land of my birth. She is a member of the Association of Coaches, the British Psychological Society and Teaching Council. Helen is passionate about lifelong learning and helping others achieve their equestrian dreams, with her signature coaching style being one of care and compassion. My first question for Helen was how she got interested in horses.
So my life with horses and how I got hooked on them started from really far beyond when I can remember, and my mum blames herself for my love of horses. She says that she brought me to Mallow Racecourse when I was only about a year and a half or two, and I was just absolutely mesmerised by these beautiful creatures at the racecourse. So for me personally, I don't remember a time that I didn't love horses. I was always intrigued by them. When you'd be driving past in the field, I'd always be looking at the horses and seeing what they were up to. And also growing up on a farm, I spent a lot of time around animals, and I suppose I just always felt that I had a love, or a grá, as we say in Ireland, for animals and helping on the farm. And I had a pony before I went to school. Bill was his name, and he definitely taught me a lot about motivational strategies with horses and all sorts of healthcare issues that I had to help him with. So really from as far back as I can remember. And it continued right throughout my life into when I was a teenager and up to the present day. It's never gone away. Lots of different people thought that my love of horses might wear off, but thankfully it hasn't.
If you've listened to the other podcasts in From the Horse's Mouth, you'll have detected a pattern at this stage. So far, everyone I've spoken to can trace the spark of their interest in horses back to when they were young children and speak about some kind of sense of awe when they first encountered horses. It seems so obvious that Helen's journey in equestrianism also began with a type of emotional spark which has endured her whole life. I next asked Helen to tell me about how she got involved with horses professionally.
It's not really something that I had planned out. When I was a teenager, I always had a fancy for the idea that I might become a riding instructor and that I could help other people with their horses. I definitely felt as a child and a teenager, I was always very drawn to helping professions. But as my life with horses progressed, I thought to myself, how would I help anybody with their horse when I was having such difficulty with my own ponies or my own horses? And luckily, when I got into my late teens and my early 20s, I was able to find a lot of stuff on the internet. And here in Ireland, there was definitely a big shift on towards more compassionate training and trying to act in partnership with your horse and building a trusting relationship as opposed to the horse and human working against one another. So I suppose a combination of, as I said, online education programs and also here in Ireland, actually attending events, it really opened my awareness to the fact that there were other ways to engage with your horse, that it didn't have to be fear-based and it didn't have to take a lot of force on the part of the human. And for me, that was really important because I'm not a rough person. I'm quite a sensitive person. And a lot of people had told me in more traditional backgrounds that I just wasn't rough enough really to be around horses and to be successful with them. So when I found these more compassionate ways of training, I was literally like a duck to water. I absorbed everything in terms of reading and DVDs and like attending different events and learned a great deal. So I just kind of fell into it from there, and, you know, just kind of people who were in my area and that kind of helping them out a little bit. And then I did feel through my work as a school teacher and also through helping people with their horses that the psychological side was a big part of it. And then I decided to do a master's in University College Cork in coaching psychology. I had previously done a master's in education with them, and I felt I learned a lot there about how people learn and motivational strategies and different things like that. But I find I wanted to get deeper into the psychology of it. So now in my work, I work with people with just maybe pure coaching, helping them to achieve their horsemanship goals. And I also work with people in a mentoring capacity with helping them with their horsemanship. And my horsemanship and my approach really lines up with what Equitopia is all about having a compassionate relationship, that it's like very humane for the animal that's involved and also for the people. Because I often think in horsemanship that we can be very compassionate for our horses, and, you know, they get all sorts of professionals out to treat them and to look after them. And certainly I know my own horses, they have quite a holistic experience in terms of people who come to help them out. But that wasn't always the case with the humans. They often needed a lot of help and they needed a lot of support maybe to overcome their fears and their anxieties that they had around achieving their horsemanship goals. So that's a bit of a long answer, but that's kind of how I got into it professionally.
That's a great story. But one of the things Helen said made me shudder, how people told her she wasn't rough enough to be around horses. This was very much the thinking when I was young, and to me at the time, it seemed normal, I guess. Being tough and being able to handle a horse was considered a good thing, something to be admired, to be proud of, while a quieter, more sensitive person would have been considered weak and not a lot of potential in the horse world. My thinking today seems literally millions of miles from what it was then. And I really wonder how I was so accepting of some of these attitudes around me at the time. It seems so far away in my own head that I sometimes subconsciously think that these attitudes are very much in the past, long ago, though I'm not sure if that's really the case. And I agree with Helen that the only way to change these attitudes is through education, being made aware of other ways of doing things. Next, I asked Helen to tell me about some challenges she had to overcome on her journey.
Definitely a challenge for me growing up in Ireland was that it was very traditional. There wasn't a lot of information out there around alternative approaches. I suppose I had this idea in my head that I always wanted it to be a partnership, and I saw a lot of the times that it was a dictatorship and neither the horse or the human were enjoying it. But thankfully, as the years have progressed, there's a lot more information available. And when I was in my teens, we had dial-up internet. So to even access a website was often quite difficult, waiting a half an hour maybe for your internet to get up and running. But thankfully, we have somewhat better connectivity nowadays, and I suppose it links us into people who are all over the world. So I suppose that challenge is definitely lessening as time goes on. So I'm happy to be able to connect with lots of people all over the world who know lots about horsemanship and know lots about psychological concepts, which really helps me in my own work.
Yeah, technology has played an amazing part in opening up pathways to education and information exchange and finding like-minded people who can help to bring about change. I asked Helen to briefly tell me about her expertise and her approach to what she does.
So yeah, my area of expertise would be education. So I have both a postgraduate diploma and a master's in education from UCC. And I work as a secondary school teacher or a high school teacher, and I teach English and geography. And I also work as a life and performance coach, and I also do mentoring in terms of helping people with their horsemanship. And again, all of the different jobs that I do, whether it's teaching, coaching or mentoring, all of that is done really from a very holistic look at it in terms of how everybody is operating in those partnerships and what are the needs of each person within it. And I suppose I feel like when you achieve something, if you feel that the person wasn't with you physically, mentally and emotionally, or the horse, I feel it's not really a great achievement unless we've all kind of gone there together.
Beautifully put, and I couldn't agree more. Nowadays, everything is about partnership, including learning. Gone are the days when learners just sat quietly and absorbed and accepted information from experts. Today, we want more meaningful learning experiences, and that means the approach described by Helen. I asked her if she believes there have been changes in her field because of technology and other developments.
In my current field, like working in a coaching psychology space, you know, there's so much new information out there. You know, we have huge access to MRI and fMRI now about knowing how people's minds work. Neuroscience has given us huge information about people's brains and how that operates. And it's almost the same with the horses, that we now don't have to go on anecdotal experience or what people have done down through generations. We actually have research and studies to back up what we're doing. And yes, of course, we might have known a lot of this anecdotally and known that it was correct, but we have that research now to back it up. And I think that's really helpful. And I suppose it's quite exciting when we think about the future of research, both for humans and horses, what we will be able to learn and to really get that partnership operating between horse and human.
I asked Helen for her thoughts on the value of collaboration with other equine professionals.
I'm from an academic background, so I really do value collaboration. And you think in a university space, you're always collaborating. You might be writing a paper on something individually, but you know, you're not going to pass that paper if you don't bring in other people's work and read what other people have done, reference it, looking at peer reviewed journals and making sure that that really underpins your work. And I think nowadays, again, we can collaborate with people all over the world. You might be listening to a podcast and you might be getting some ideas from that. And in a way, that's a form of collaboration. The person producing the podcast isn't maybe aware of it, but you're collaborating with them. You are open to new ideas. And I suppose we can get a whole raft of ideas now via the internet. So for me, collaboration is hugely important and I get very excited collaborating with other people and with new material. It gives you a bit of a burst and you think, okay, this could really help my work and it could really help the horses and the humans that I work with.
Interesting. And what about any challenges she faces as a professional?
I would say one of the first challenges is that as a professional, you need to keep yourself open constantly to upskilling and new learning. I think that's really important. Otherwise, you lose touch with your audience, you lose touch with your clients. And I think your core training is a really good starting point and it's really good to get you up and running. But you constantly need to be learning and to be upskilling. And I'm very conscious of that myself, of making sure that I engage in CPD, continuous professional development, and making sure that I read plenty and that I listen to different people as well who perhaps challenge my opinions, whether that be on horsemanship or from a psychological point of view.
I also asked Helen, does she have any challenges she faces with her own horses?
I have two of my own horses, Charlie and Cora, and I also keep two horses belonging to two friends of mine. And in terms of challenges, yes, absolutely. There are always challenges with owning every horse, and I always think that, you know, what one horse teaches you, yes, it will help you with another horse, but no two are exactly the same. So I think about my horse, Charlie, who would be quite highly spirited and has been quite challenging for me to develop, but he has taught me huge amounts. At the moment, he has, unfortunately, a bit of an ongoing lameness issue. Previously diagnosed having some inflammation in his coffin joint, and that has like come back a little bit again. So I suppose looking at how we're going to rehab that and how we're going to make him comfortable. And again, like I even said, in terms of challenges, you know, making sure that like I'm really up to speed with what treatments would be available to him and how I could rehab that and so on. So that's a challenge for me. And then I think with my young horse, Cora, she is a beautiful full-bred Irish draft. She's 3-year-old. So the challenge there is, again, that I take her at her pace and she is different to all the other horses that I have previously owned. And it's a new relationship for me to develop with her. And I suppose around not making assumptions would be one of the things that I would really challenge myself to step up to the mark with that. Don't assume that you know it all and just listen to what she has to say, because there's that constant feedback and constant communication that's going on between horse and human. And I often note that here at home. That my partner might say to me something, oh, I'd say they're fine. And I'd say, no, I saw them taking a funny step out there in the paddock and I'll go and investigate that. And usually my intuition is pretty good around that. But it does also take you a while to build up that intuition with each horse that you have. And, you know, you want to have a strong relationship and you want to have a strong bond with them. And the challenge in that is that it takes work and it takes time and it takes dedication. Even though I love doing it, you know, it's still something that you need to put the work into. So that's where I will be at with the lovely Charlie and Cora.
I was interested also to know what Helen's opinion was on improvements coming about in the equestrian world.
I think with modern day technology and the internet, there is huge amounts of information out there that people can very easily and cheaply access. And I think in the past that was not the case. So that's definitely a strength going forward. And I feel so many people are more open to training their horses in a compassionate way. And it's just something that it literally warms my heart when I hear it, that people want to operate in partnership with their horses. And to be honest, I think the vast majority of people want to be in that space with their horse. It's very, very difficult when you have to train your horse using fear and you have to use all sorts of gadgets to, you know, keep them under control. I don't really think in anybody's heart that they find that enjoyable. So I do definitely see that there's an openness that's getting in there. And I really feel as the years push on that people will have a greater awareness, and hopefully that will be reflected in their practices with horses as well, of a compassionate training style.
I asked Helen to talk about what she would like to change for the horses in the future and how she believes that change should come about.
I definitely think the use of gadgets. It's one of my pet hates in terms of horsemanship, people using tie downs and all sorts of medieval contraptions that a lot of the things you see them in the tack shop, you wonder even what part of the horse would that actually go on to. So I think with my own horses, it's, you know, whatever tack they're in, it's very, very plain and their mouths aren't tied shut. Whatever feedback they have to give, whether I like it or not, it's my job as their partner to listen to that and take it on board. So definitely in the area of gadgets and apparatus, I think that definitely needs to change and people need more education around what these contraptions are doing to their horses. And I just think from my own perspective, when I'm trying to explain this, that I say to people, you know, you could get me into a complex yoga position. And if you tie me there in place, it doesn't mean that I'm going to learn to be in that place. If anything, it's going to cause undue tension on my body. Education, I think the answer to all problems really is education. Informing people of what is behind these practices, what it does to the horse, providing information again around other ways to do things. So that's my my response to that.
I also asked her, what about the change you would like to see for riders?
An element that I do think needs to change is around shame culture. And we can do this to ourselves or someone else can do it to us, whereby we feel shame or we feel judged around a particular decision that we've made with our horses. And that can be a very negative space to exist in. And a one that I regularly see with people is around getting off. So they have felt fearful and has brought up a fear response in them for whatever reason. And they want to jump off their horse. And there can be a lot of judgment around that and a lot of advice around, you know, you have to stay on, you can't let the horse win. And, you know, a lot of these very outdated ideologies that we now know are not helpful to either the horse or human. I really think we need to break that down. And I see that particularly around younger children from a very young age. You know, they're aware of these kind of unwritten rules around that you know, you have to stay on. And like, even when you feel afraid, that you need to push through it. And we know from a psychology background that that's not how we learn, that we need to protect ourselves and that we need to know that we can keep ourselves safe at any moment and that we're not giving our locus of evaluation away to somebody else. And I feel really lucky in my own journey that the instructors and different mentors that I have worked with and my own family have been incredibly supportive of me in times when I did have a crisis of confidence or trying to get over something. I had a very bad fall a number of years ago. And it was hard for me to get back from that. And I was hard enough on myself without anybody else putting any shame onto me. And I think our brain, we need to recognise that, for example, our amygdala is constantly scanning our environment to see, are we safe? How can it keep us safe? And it really wants us to make it to the next day. And we need to kind of honour that in with within ourselves as well and keep ourselves and our horses safe for the next day. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking a step back or getting off your horse or feeling emotional in that moment. They're living beings, so are we. It's not going to go perfectly right all the time. And we have to remember that an emotion is just energy in motion. There's nothing wrong with feeling any emotion, but we can unpack that and, you know, make a strategy for people so that they can like overcome maybe those very negative and intense feelings. So yeah, I definitely think we need to lay off the shame and we need to lay off the judgment of ourselves. And equally, if we're perpetrating that against another person, to kind of say, you know, that's their journey and their decisions and they're doing what they need to keep themselves safe in this moment. And like I said, I've just been incredibly lucky to be supported by so many wonderful people in my horsemanship journey. And it's definitely something that has really helped me to make progress and to regain my confidence and also to have a sense of that I can look after myself, that I have a really strong locus of internal evaluation.
I fully agree with this. This attitude of pushing through, repressing feelings and persevering even when it feels wrong needs to change. Making people feel bad about not living up to outdated, nonsensical rules needs to stop and really has no place in equestrianism today. I moved on to ask Helen about what the future holds for the equestrian world in her opinion.
Like I said, there's definitely change coming down the tracks. I see that every single day. It's slow, but there's definitely change afoot. And like I said, people have huge access nowadays to online information. And even if there's somebody you know, on the internet, you can go on, you can get like remote coaching. There are so many like home study programs now, including all of the ones that Equitopia offer, that people can upskill. And I think, like I said, it's a slow process, but I definitely think that's something that is beginning to change.
Well, I guess that's why Equitopia exists, harnessing the power of technology to ramp up education around the world. As with other interviewees, I asked Helen to recommend some books that she thinks equestrians would find interesting and benefit from.
I am such a bookworm and I'm always ordering books, and I have a whole room full of them at home. I have gone for three different books. Two of them are horsemanship related and the other is more psychologically related. And I thought that also kind of reflects what I do professionally. So the first book that I really enjoyed, and it's a book as much about life as it is about horsemanship, and it's a book by Mark Rashid called Finding the Missed Path. And I think for anybody, it's a good read. Whether you had horses or you didn't have horses, there is something that you could get out of it. There's an awful lot in there about energy work, about mindfulness, I suppose, about like dealing with our own issues and parking those before we go and work with the horse. And there's a lot of really nice case studies in there as well. It's a book that, God love it, it's battered and bruised here because I go back to it a lot and really enjoy it. I like a lot of Mark Rashid's work. So that one, it's called Finding the Missed Path. Love that one. The second one that I have, and it's actually with one of your Equitopia presenters, is Dr. Gerd Hausmann's book, Collection or Contortion. I think that is a super book. And again, getting back to what I said about gadgets and that earlier on, it explains an awful lot about how the body works. I've read it several times, but again, it's like the previous book. I keep coming back to it. And I suppose I'm aware of the different sections in the book now when I'm working on something, you know, whether it's biomechanics or flexion or bend or whatever it is, I can go and have a look at that book. So I really like that book. It's actually quite a short book, but it's absolutely jam-packed with information and I love it. Lots of really nice visuals in it also. And the third book, which is more the psychological one, is called Mindset, and it is by Professor Carol Dweck. And she really promotes the power of believing that you can improve. And a lot of people would be familiar with the concept of mindset already, whether you operate in a state of fixed mindset or growth mindset. And I think particularly for equestrians, when we're dealing with horses, so many challenges every day are presented to us, that if we can try to operate from that growth mindset of, yes, you know, I am struggling now and I am in a state of challenge, but I am engaging with them and I will improve. So I think that's a really, really good book as well. And I love Carol Dweck's book, Mindset, it's just called, very simply. And she has a good few TED Talks as well, which are well worth having a look at. So they are my three book recommendations, which was a difficult one for me to do.
Helen very much understands the benefits of collaborating with the various professionals that are needed for proper equine care. So I asked her what qualities she would look for in members of an equine team.
I really feel that I'm not going to go through them individually because it's the same principles or concepts I would have for any of them. People who are open to learning. I always refrain from using the word expert in any field, because I think when we say that we're an expert, it really shuts us down to new learning and new opportunities. So somebody who is looking at new products perhaps that are on the market, what kind of research is out there to back up, you know, what these products are proposing to do. And again, somebody who wants to operate in partnership with the horse. I'm very lucky that I have a wonderful farrier in particular, and he really takes the time it takes. So if like the horse is getting a bit fussy and, you know, their leg has been up for a long time, we'll give him a break, give him a chance to settle down, reset and get into that parasympathetic nervous system and go at it again. So being able to give them a break and not being direct line about it, that we can take the time to achieve it. And I'm just so lucky with the team of people that I have around me. Like I said, my farrier, my vet, equally I'm very lucky to have two body workers that do a fantastic job of working with my horses. One is Nia Fitzpatrick from Equine Therapies Ireland, and the other is Emma Robertson, who is both human and horse physiotherapist, and she also does craniosacral therapist, craniosacral therapy. And again, they just like deal with the horse that shows up on that day, not making any assumptions about them, not getting direct line about it. It's literally a two-way street. It's a conversation with the horse. And as a result of that, I always feel in my own yard that there's never any high energy or shouting or roaring or horses or humans getting upset about things. We take the time it takes, and the horses really settle into that, and they know as well that they can give feedback, and that that feedback will be honoured and that it will be taken on board. So I suppose to sum up what I'm saying, it's somebody who's interested in working in partnership with the horse, showing up for them on the day, but also having the knowledge and I suppose being committed to ongoing CPD to support their work.
This is such an ideal scenario and perfectly sums up my idea of care for horses also. Having a team of people who are committed to building their knowledge, are not stuck on doing things a certain way because it's how they've always done them. People who are open to talking to each other and treating each horse as an individual, that are patient, kind and considerate. Like everyone else I've interviewed has said, people caring for our horses need to be open to new ways of doing things, open to learning new things, open to considering others' opinions, and even open to the possibility of being wrong sometimes. And the key to all of this really is education. We all need to keep learning. And that brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks so much to Helen for sharing her wonderful insights, and thank you for listening. Tune in next month for more from the Horse's Mouth.